All right. Good morning, church family. It's 7 a.m. here at Anza Baptist Church in the sanctuary, and Joel and I are here. I want to just start by thanking Joel for being here to record and do all that he does over there and this early in the morning. So thank you, Joel. Thank you for your help. And I want to go ahead and open us up in prayer right now. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to just bow before you and worship you right now. And Lord, we want to just entrust this time to you. Want to ask, Lord, that you would change our heart, Lord. According to your word, let your word just work in us deeply right now, Lord, by the power of your spirit. Lord, we pray that you'd open our eyes to see your glory and just your wonder from your word right now, Lord. Lord, we also ask that you'd help us to fear you right now, Lord, to desire to honor and please you. And no one else. And Lord, please, we pray that you'd help us to better understand your loving kindness and to understand your great love for us. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So, and this has been another unexpected week. There's been a lot of different decisions that we've had to make, a lot of things that we're not used to, and then for some of us, we've been scrambling to try to keep up with all the changes and different things that are coming at us. And honestly, I don't know how people do this without the Lord. Without having the Lord as their refuge and strength. But with all these changes we've been having, I think it kind of culminated or peaked with our governor putting out an order late Thursday night that we are to stay home. You know, he gave out a stay-at-home order that went into effect on Friday. So just in the last week and a half, we've received orders that all meetings of 250 or more are to be canceled, and then orders that all meetings of 50 or more are to be canceled, and then all meetings of 10 or more are to be canceled, and now we're ordered to stay at home, with the exception to taking care of necessities. So anyway, we just, the elders and deacons, and we just want to let you know that we hope that you all are doing well, that you're safe and well at home. And we also want to let you know that if there is anything that we can do to help or to support you in this time, to please don't hesitate to let me or to let other church members know, okay? Don't hesitate. We want to know, and we want to be there for you, and we want to be there for each other. So we find ourselves in a very unique and humbling time in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. And because of the orders that have been given out by our county and state authorities, the elders of Anza Baptist Church have decided that all meetings of 10 or more will be canceled until further notice. And for now, we will be replacing the gathering of our main service with a video recording of a message that we'll put online, and we should have it online at 10:30 each Sunday for you and for the church members to watch. And again, just want to remind you that if there are any ways that the church can help you in this time, through this time, again, let us know. During this time, during this emergency, it's important that we maintain community, that we maintain communication, and that we collaborate with each other so that we can minister to each other, so that we can minister to the church, so that we can minister to our neighbors and our friends, and also so that we can minister to those who are in need right now. And if you haven't looked around the website, obviously you've gone to the website, that's how you're watching this, but if you haven't looked around the website, I encourage you to look around. We've been working on that a lot this week. I want to take a minute to just thank Ken Yoder for his help and ideas and the resources that he's made available and let us know about. Thank you, Ken, and I especially want to thank my wife, Julie, for all of her help and her hard work in improving our website, and praise the Lord for her gifts in that. She knows how to work the codes and put all the links and all those things on there. So thankful for Julie. But thank you, Ken, also. But on the website, just take a little bit of time to look through it. There's some very helpful resources. If you look at the website, there's a tab. Oh, no, I'm sorry. There's a yellow strip. And if you click that yellow strip on the homepage, it takes you to a coronavirus statement from the elders, just to let you know what's going on, and we'll keep that up to date. There's also a coronavirus tab. If you click on that tab on the homepage, it takes you to a list of links that go to primary resources so that you can get the information straight from the professionals and in the medical field and in our authorities. And so that's a good place to go to information if you just want the facts. Also, there is, under the coronavirus tab, a homeschool activities tab. So I know for many of us in our church, we homeschool our kids, but there are some who go to public school. And then, of course, there's many parents in our community right now who have kids at home, and they don't know what to do. So anyway, if you go to that homeschool tab, there's all kinds of free resources that will be helpful for our kids, and then it will also be helpful for parents and kids in the community. So we encourage you to use them, and then let your neighbors and friends know about it so that they can go there too and come up with ideas. There's also a church resources tab where there's several links. There's links for Sunday school resources so that you can have a Sunday school lessons to teach your kids the Bible while you're at home. There's sermon resources. There's also another resource called Right Now Media, and they've allowed churches to have a free use of their resource right now, and that's full of Bible studies and really good Bible studies and video studies for the church. So check that out. We've also set up a community page for our church, and so the social media program is called Tribe, and it's like Facebook, but it's private. So only our church members are invited and on that social media. So So if you do that sort of a thing, which my wife does, I don't, check that out. And it'll be a good way to maintain community and talk to each other, collaborate, and let each other know what's going on. And so far, since Julie has set that up, we've already had 26 church families sign up and begin using that. So if you haven't checked that out, I encourage you to do that. And then also, too, one more thing. We're working on our website to set up an online giving so that as the Lord leads you, you can go online and give an offering to the church. So that should be up and running by beginning of next week. But if you'd rather not do that, as the Lord leads, you can mail your offering to the church. You can just mail it through regular mail. All right, so we've been working hard on the website. A lot to do on that. But again, thankful for it. So for the message today, I want us to consider some of the principles, or you could say some of the plumb lines, like we've talked about, the truths that are helping us to make decisions as we go through this. I want to just share those with you. These principles have been guiding our elders and many, many churches in our nation. Also, they've been guiding the Clifton Baptist Church. And that church has been a huge help to us as we've been trying to work our way through all this. But there's three things that we're going to consider this morning. Number one, gathering together is essential to who the church is. Number two, loving one another is essential to who the church is. And then number three, loving our community is essential to who the church is. So we're going to look at those three things. And the first one is gathering together is essential to who the church is. And now I say that and can tell you it's strange being here with an empty sanctuary. And so I'll explain this better. So we are a people redeemed in Christ, gathering under the Word of God. And we're supposed to gather under the Word of God. And gathering is irreplaceable to church life. You can't replace it. We are committed to gather together. We read in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Albert Mohler asked this question. It's an important question for us now. Can we remain faithful to Scripture while being restricted from meeting? Can we remain faithful to Scripture while being restricted from meeting? And the answer is yes. For a certain amount of time, with adequate justification, we can still remain faithful. You see, it's not just the churches that have been asked not to gather. But this is an overarching order for our entire culture. It's not just the churches. Throughout our culture, groups are being asked not to meet. Well, here's another question. Is it possible for the church to worship, to gather, to be together online and not in the flesh? Is it possible for the church to gather and be together online? And the truth of it is that this is a lousy way for us to be together. It's not sufficient. No electronic or digital or social media replacement. There is no replacement for what Christ intends for His church to gather together. There's no replacement for all of us being together and fellowshipping together physically. All right, the online doesn't replace that. And that really has to be clear. We must make that clear. Anything we do online is not the same as what it means for us to gather together physically. Online does not replace being together physically to experience God's means of grace and spiritual growth as we sing together, as we sit under the Word of God, as we pray together, as we read Scripture together, as we share testimony. Online doesn't replace that. Anything we do online is not the same as when we do things together. But right now, we're in a moment of emergency. And moments like these are rare. And for the time being, this is the best that we can do. So in this time, we need to pray for wisdom and creative ways that we can reach out to each other and our neighbors and those in need. We need to pray for creative ways that we can encourage and lift up the other churches in the community. This is a really big opportunity right now. Let's be mindful of that too, other churches in the community, and ways that we can encourage them and pray for them and lift them up and reach out to them. You all will be receiving calls from an elder or a deacon to help us stay connected and to help us meet needs. Just want to take a moment to thank the elders and the deacons. I know I called the elders pretty much every day this week with, you know, what do we do now? Here's this order, and what do we do with this? And so the elders have been communicating a lot this week, trying to figure out what to do. And then last night we had an elders and deacons meeting, but it was a phone conference meeting. So there were eight of us, and we were all trying to, I think it went well. But we were all praying and trying to come up with ways that we can minister to you and to the community. So I want to just thank the elders and the deacons. And so just know that you'll be receiving a call. And again, we ask if there's anything that we can do, please let us know. And you know what? We'll be calling, but we want to encourage all of you to stay connected as well. Call each other and keep in touch with each other as the Lord brings people to mind and puts people on your heart. Give them a call. So again, gathering together is essential to who the church is. This is our commitment. We are committed to being together physically, but for a time, we'll do this online thing. Present factors are disrupting us from meeting together physically, so But we will remain committed to being together, and we'll pray that we'll be able to be together soon. All right, another essential for the church is loving one another. Loving one another is essential to who the church is. Love for one another is primarily expressed in building each other up in love, so that we are formed after Christ. We love one another to build each other up so that we will be conformed into the image of Christ. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. It says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Loving one another is also expressed in caring for each other's physical needs. And we see a good example of this in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And so I want to invite you to turn there. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I wanted to read this to you from the New Living Translation, because I like how it's worded in this translation. But again, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 6 through 15. And again, loving one another is expressed by taking care of each other's physical needs. So let's consider that as we read these verses, starting in verse 6. "Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves the person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. For God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will give you many opportunities to do good, and He will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out in thanksgiving to God. So two good things will happen. The needs of Christians in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanksgiving to God. You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts, for your generosity to them will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the wonderful grace of God shown through you. Thank God for His Son, a gift too wonderful for words." And so I believe that is an important passage for us to keep in front of us through this time. We're not to grow cold in providing for those in need, for the poor, and giving to them. So pray that the Lord would work that out in our hearts. As we ask the Lord for wisdom, which I'm sure a lot of us are asking for more than usual, with all the different situations and circumstances that we're dealing with. But as we ask for wisdom from God, as it says in James, we're to ask in faith. That's very important. Ask in faith, knowing that God will provide. But also very important, we need to know that when we ask God for wisdom, that we know that He's already given us the wisdom in His Word. The Bible is God's wisdom for us. And so when we ask for wisdom, really we're asking, Lord, what does your word say to the situation? How does your word apply to the situation? What does your word say? And as we ask for wisdom from God, that's what we're asking. Lord, what does your word say and speak to us about this? And so when we are seeking wisdom, we should be opening up God's word and seeking God's wisdom in His word for what to do. And as we just read, we are to be cheerful givers, even right now. As people are hoarding and isolating, as Christians know, we're cheerful givers. We help. And this is the will and the wisdom of God. Another way that we love one another is this. To love people is to consider how best to contribute to their good. How best do we contribute to people's good? And of course, we've been looking at this in Philippians 2. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And we are to do this based on the knowledge that we have at that time. Whatever knowledge that we have at this time, we're supposed to figure out how we can help each other and contribute to their good. So here's what we know right now. Here's what we know right now. Well, one of the things we know. We currently know that the COVID-19 virus is spreading quickly across the world. We know that there is not competent testing available, and we also know that there are not competent treatments available for this virus. And we also know that those who are most vulnerable to the virus are ones with weakened immune systems. Ben Carson, one of our government authorities and a medical professional, he pointed out this week that the COVID-19 virus is 3 times more contagious than the common flu. It's 3 times more contagious. And we also know that the symptoms of this virus on those who are infected do not show for several days. So, based on this knowledge and our current situation, I believe that our problem is not that we are afraid. I don't think our problem as Christians is that we are afraid. I don't think our problem as a church is that we're afraid right now and we're isolating and we're scared. I actually think our bigger problem is that we're not taking this very seriously. I think that's the bigger problem for us right now. We're not taking this seriously. One thing that helped me to take this more seriously was a letter that was written by Martin Luther in the year 1527. And he wrote this letter in response to the bubonic plague that was ravaging Europe at that time. The name of the letter, and you can look this up online, it's 14 pages, but it's a really good read. The name of the letter is Whether one may flee from a deadly plague. Whether one may flee from a deadly plague. And anyway, in his letter, Luther, he makes it clear to pastors that they are not to flee and isolate themselves from their sheep. Pastor is to be there to minister to feed, to care for the church. So I was like, okay, if the virus comes up here, I know I'm not going anywhere. I need to be here to minister and help people and trust the Lord. I'm not going to isolate. He uses scriptures like Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40 to emphasize that as we give a drink to those in need and food and clothing, we're doing the same thing to Jesus. We have to do these things. But it's interesting because with passion and strong language, Luther also rebuked those who were caring for the sickness and foolishly infecting others. Okay, he rebuked those who were infected by the bubonic plague and were still going around and helping others, and by so doing were spreading the plague more. He rebuked them so harshly. I'll read some of his words to you. In his own words, he said, "My advice is that if any such persons are discovered foolishly spreading the disease, my advice is that if any such persons are discovered, the judge should take them by the ear and turn them over to Master Jack the hangman as outright and deliberate murderers." Listen to that. I'll just read it one more time, because when I heard this, it made me take this more seriously. "My advice is that if any such persons are discovered, the judge should take them by the ear and turn them over to Master Jack, the hangman, as outright and deliberate murders." And in other words, if we are foolish and unwise and spreading this virus, he's saying we are acting as murderers and are responsible for the deaths of those that we know and love. And so I say this so that we'll take this a little bit more seriously. We'll take precaution as our authorities have instructed us to. Otherwise, we could be responsible for the death of loved ones and neighbors. Our church is blessed to have a combination of children and senior saints. We have those in our church who have weaker immune systems and illnesses. And we must take this seriously. We want to love our people well. Okay, so gathering together is essential to who the church is. Loving one another is essential to who the church is. And loving our community is essential to who the church is. We are to love our community. One of the ways that we love our community is by respecting those who are in authority over us. And we're commanded in Scripture to respect those who are in authority over us. It's very clear. In Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, which is another important passage to keep before us, it gives us principle, the plumb line of how we are to make decisions right now. It says there in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. So not only are we to respect and submit to authority, we are also to be courteous, as we can be, while upholding the values of the kingdom of Christ. Even though we might not agree with the decisions that authorities are making, we need to be courteous and respectful. Another passage to consider in this is Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. And I encourage you to read that with your families or by yourself also. We see there that all governing authorities are established by God. We are to respect and to submit to President Trump, as well as to Governor Gavin Newsom. Now, of course, as we establish this principle based on these scriptures, we always remember that we're to take the whole of Scripture, not just these two verses, but the whole of Scripture as we make decisions and doctrines and decisions. And so we are to respect and submit to our Heavenly Father first of all and foremost. We submit to Him first. And if a governing authority commands us to take action in a way that is disobedient to our Heavenly Father, then we respond to that authority in the same way that Peter did when he was responding to the High Council in Acts 5, verse 29, where Peter says, when he's commanded not to speak the name of Jesus, Peter responds, "We must obey God rather than men. And if necessary," that is how we'll respond if we are asked to disobey the Lord. But right now, we can love our community by being good examples of respect and submission to those who are in authority over us. We can love our community by being those good examples. We've seen it on the media. We've heard it as we go around town. But there is a lot of anger and slander swelling in the media and all around us. And that anger and slander is a poison. It's a tool of the devil. And we need to pray that the Lord would help us to do what it says in Proverbs 15, verse 1, where it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." We also see in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And let's go ahead and turn there. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Again, another passage to keep before us in this time. James chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is the wisdom of God, to be makers of peace. And let us as a church be a refuge of peace and hope in the midst of fear and anger. And as I said, we have a great opportunity before us to love our community. We need to ask the Lord to help us to be good examples of submission to authority, to speak peace and wisdom in the face of slander and rage. And we need to be wise in doing that too. As we speak peace and truth, we must remember what it says in Matthew 7:6. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. So we must keep that in mind too. And we also have an opportunity to share why we have peace and hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, in His salvation and in His Word. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, and do it with gentleness and respect." So to help us to prepare and to be ready, to give a reason for the hope that is in us, I want us to read together in Scripture one more time. Turn to Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And this will really help us to just help to summarize what we've discussed this morning. So Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Let's go ahead and read that together. Or listen as I read to you. "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." And so we see here our command to submit and obey authority, respect authority. But we also see our greatest authority, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we see a presentation of the gospel here. And so as you're helping and doing good works and being giving generously, joyfully, and as you're ministering to your neighbors and friends, and they ask you about why you have so much hope and peace, and at that time you can take them to Titus chapter 3 and read them verses 1 through 8 and present the gospel to them. And we need to pray that as we have these opportunities to share the gospel in word and in deed, and especially as we share the gospel in word, that we'll remember what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So let me just leave you with one final word of encouragement. Just in remembering Jesus' words to his disciples in John chapter 16, some of his last words to his disciples before he went to the cross. This was going to be a horrifying time for the disciples, an earth-shattering time, a time of just gut-wrenching and just disaster for the disciples as Jesus was arrested and taken to the cross. So what they experienced then is much more devastating than what we're experiencing today. But these words are also meant to encourage us. And we need to have these words in our hearts and minds. Jesus says in John chapter 16, verses 32 and 33, "Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." So God bless you in this time. And again, remember, if there's anything that we can do, please let us know. And we love you and are praying for you. God bless you and take care.